and defending Iraq against an Iranian threat is in the long-term interests of the United States, is in the long-term interests of the Iraqi people, and is going to take even more work than getting the Iraqi forces able to confront the irregular internal threat that they're currently working to fight.
Could you describe what the military is doing differently with the surge?
I can. The most interesting thing to the so-called surge for me is not the additional 30,000 American troops that we've committed into the fight in Iraq. It's that we've committed them very differently. General Petraeus had the remarkable opportunity to spend a year thinking hard about counterinsurgency. Was the lead author, the driving force behind the U.S. Army Marine Corps Counterinsurgency Field Manual. And that strategy relied on providing protection to the population of Iraq. We'd previously done an awful lot of clearing operations. We had cleared the enemy out of sector, but we hadn't had either the troops nor a full understanding of counterinsurgency principles to lead us to understand that once you've cleared, you have to hold what you've cleared, and if possible, you hold with host nation security forces strengthened by American advisors, and then you rebuild the society in that territory you're holding. And it's been called an oil spot strategy, and it slowly spreads across the face of the country that's afflicted by insurgency.
One of the programs that David Petraeus has been overseeing is the paying of Sunni militia leaders. Would you describe that program and its rationale?
Historically, in a counterinsurgency campaign, you don't kill or capture all your enemies. You actually convince them to come over to your side. You convince them that it isn't worth fighting you. Instead, you come to some accordance of interest, and agreements tend to be negotiated. You don't have surrender agreements on the deck of the Missouri, but shui shui, slowly, slowly, in Arabic, the insurgency whimpers away. And what General Petraeus has done is an outreach program that actually we started. I was actually in Al Anbar back in 2003, 2004, and made some very halting gestures in this direction. I held meetings with Sunni sheikhs, with Sunni tribal leaders, and tried to convince them that it was in their interest to work with us. I'm not sure I succeeded as much as I would have liked to, but did manage to plant some seeds. And over the 4 years since that time, that process has continued. There's been continued negotiations between Army and Marine leaders in Al Anbar with some of these Sunni leaders, some of them, frankly, insurgent leaders, or at least favorably inclined toward the insurgency if they're not actually insurgent fighters themselves. And in one case I know of, a Marine general officer traveled to a nearby country to talk to one of the Sunni leaders who was in exile there to try to work these negotiations. So it's a diplomatic process as much as a military process, and it's one that, after years of hard work, is bearing remarkable fruit, and it has turned some of our enemies not just not against us, but has turned them against our common enemy, Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And that is one of the key reasons for the success that General Petraeus saw in 2007.
So how much do we pay each leader, and what do we expect in return for that payment?
We pay them, as I understand it, about $10 a day, and we do not provide them with weapons in most cases. Most of them have weapons, have AK-47s, and that's all the weapons they need for the missions they're doing. And it's sort of a neighborhood watch on steroids. What these folks do is ensure that the people in their locality belong there, and they remove foreign fighters, Al-Qaeda in Iraq, by whatever means are necessary. And there are obviously some dangers in that kind of approach. But
what are those dangers?
Well, the danger is that you've got citizens taking law into their own hands.
You discovered this little instruction manual for American servicemen in Iraq during World War II, and you thought it was so interesting, you had it republished and wrote an introduction for it. And in that introduction, you said, "The key to success in a counterinsurgency campaign is providing enough security to the people that they feel empowered to reveal the identity of the killers who hide among them in plain sight. The local people will identify the insurgents to you, but only if they believe you will be with them for the long haul to prevent reprisals." What are the implications of that for the United States?
Terry, you did me too much credit. It was